When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do we got it?
No, we're good.
We're good?
Run that.
Do I need to say it again?
Run that back.
Yeah,
hi,
run it back.
And welcome to the Phoenix Sports Podcast, presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave a five-star review. We are getting off to a hot start.
It's a Friday. It's fine.
It's Friday. That's right. I'm your host, Cheers and Susel. Michaela is still in Denver, hanging out with DNVR crew. Got Shane and Derek joining me today, and game two of the Western Conference Finals tonight. Yeah. Oh, man, the Suns are not.
No. My tummy hurts
not
now.
I
thought we talked. We said we were going to talk about it.
Wow.
Are you leaving?
No, I'll stay, I guess.
You know, we had a walk-off last time.
Yeah.
Me and Espo both walked off the camera, but it was at the end of the show. I wasn't expecting one this early.
Well, I mean, you know, I knew we were talking about things ending too early, but I didn't know we were talking about
the show.
That, yeah, the show ending.
So,
too early.
My time here on the show is done.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
Well, that is the theme of the show. You know, the Suns season came to an end before we expected it to, but also it just left us empty. Like it just ended way too soon. Was not supposed to go down like that, but there are a lot of things here in Arizona or otherwise that have come to an end too soon.
Absolutely.
So we're here to reflect and talk about it.
Yeah, it makes you feel a little bit better. These shows to me are so cathartic. Like the producing the Sun show after that loss, like took away like 2 weeks of grief for me. Like I didn't have to go through the mourning period. Like I felt like when I was leaving the studio, I was like, okay, I'm okay now. I feel a little bit better. So hopefully we can do that with you guys, but.
I tried to do a meetings with the mayor, but as you saw, it did not go as planned. I think that, yeah, the Suns season, unfortunately, was, you know, cut short. And I think it was like looking now at the next series and what the Mavericks are dealing with the Golden State Warriors. I at least take a little bit of solace in saying, like, I don't think that they would have made it past the Warriors. But I don't even want to bring up those feelings.
No,
I don't
want to
even discuss that.
Well, the thing is like I so believed that not only are they the best team in the NBA and it was a lock that they were going to at least make it to the finals, but I also felt like after the first two games of the series that there was like a really solid chance that they were going to sweep them.
And yeah.
So thing is just like like life hits you freaking fast.
I tweeted something foolish about the Dallas Mavericks weren't nasty enough to really hang in a series with the Suns.
So this is your fault.
And then I did a whole breakdown,
and I was just like the Mavs are dealing with a lot of issues. They're inconsistent. They're figuring themselves out right now. You know, like Luka's the only guy that's doing anything for them, which was like really the truth. But like the first two games, like the Suns are the more complete team, like all the stuff. There's a good chance they're going to sweep them. And then
every single player on the Mavs started shooting 80% from the 3-point line. It felt like.
Yeah.
Me and Sean also took part in the celebration too early. Actually, we took part in the celebration too early before the series even started on our bet show. We brought the brooms out before
the series even started.
Yeah.
A lot of mistakes were made around here.
Yeah.
Well, I learned a lesson, so.
I don't think I'm ever going to learn my lesson.
No. I've been a Suns fan my entire life, and I still haven't learned that lesson. I still haven't learned the lesson of, you know, fully buying into the this is our year kind of thing, right? I mean, I don't know what it's like to be a fan or a supporter of a team that you can be that confident about. But if there was ever a season when I thought that it was that, you know, the year, it was this year. Like they went through a lot, this team, and they overcame a lot of adversity during the regular season. And you saw, you like, it felt like even if they were in the situation that they were in against the Mavericks, where, you know, Chris Paul and Devin Booker were having off nights, that enough of the guys were on point throughout the season that we would see him step up in the playoffs. And unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Was not intending on going down this path. I just want to make one comment before we get into like the bulk of what we're talking about today. I think it was like Emmanuel Acho, who I really enjoy and respect, tweeted out a video of the Suns like celebrating at some point. I don't know when it was, but it was like they're dancing.
It was again. It was earlier in the season against the Bucks, I believe.
Was it post game?
No, it was pregame.
Pregame. Okay. So, and he said, like, you know, made a comment basically like, never mind, I don't blame Chris Paul. Like, like this was the reason why they lost. Like, can I just say, they got praised for their, like, them being loose and having fun and their dances and their pregame stuff and, like, all the stuff. They were praised for it all season long. Like, oh, we just love this team. They're having, it's so refreshing to see how much fun they're having. The one, I actually have been pretty good at, like, not getting defensive about what happened. But seeing that float around, it's like, give me a freaking break. That has absolutely nothing to do with what happened towards the end of the season.
Yeah, it's the two sides of it, too. It's just like, can they have fun or can they not have fun? Like, when a team's winning, it looks great. When they're not, it doesn't. First of all, that clip was from the regular season against the Bucks, and they won that game by, like, 20, I think. Like, Big Sauce, Alan Williams, quote tweeted it and said that. And it's just like, why are you bringing this up now? Like, people see videos like out of context on Twitter and just immediately assume that it was that night or it was that game. Like, that wasn't game seven. That wasn't game six. That wasn't even in the playoffs. It's ridiculous. I hate stuff like that because, first of all, like, this is a sport. This is entertainment. People are supposed to have fun.
Correct.
Second of all, nobody's saying shit when Steph Curry's shimmying down the sidelines when they're up against the Mavericks up by 20 points. Guys, this series isn't over, and I've been saying this on the Bet Show, and people want to just immediately do the same thing. The Mavs have lost every game in the first game in each round every single year, so, or every single series this year. So
here's what I'll say is I totally understand what you guys are saying, and that's part of the problem with sports is when you're losing, you're not supposed to have a fun time. Right? When you are back, when your back is up against the wall, you're not supposed to have the fun time. And I don't know if the Suns stuck to their regular kind of thing that they do pregame and all of that. I don't know if in game seven they were dancing and having a fun time, but maybe if they weren't, maybe that change to the way that they've done things all season long is maybe the reason why. And sometimes
so maybe they weren't having the fun
I don't know if I'm just straight up lying here, but I think Gerald said it felt off in the pregame too in game seven. They didn't do the normal stuff.
Right, because the optics are bad because now you're in this pressure situation and you shouldn't be taking it so lightly. You know, it's kind of like Chris Paul's comments being taken, you know, so the comments about it's just basketball, it's not the end of the world if they lose. People love to trample all over that quote after, you know, they lost. But he's right. It is just basketball. It is just a game. He's been in these situations before and not had it work out. So he knows that life goes on and they'll still, I think people just don't want to hear that. They wanted that killer instinct. They want you to be in that zone of like, no, this is the most important thing ever to me right now. And if not, they're going to pick at it. But the Diamondbacks last season, you know, there was a point where they were having a fun time in April. They were doing TikTok videos and dancing having a great time. Right. And then they went on a really tremendously bad, you know, streak through May and June. And then the rest of the season really wasn't that bad, but May and June they were abysmal. And after that, it was like no fun was allowed on the team at all. And they still have like, I don't know, 80 more games to play at that point. And they're supposed to just be very reserved and such because the team isn't doing well and their record is so bad. Yeah, people don't want to see them having a good time.
You always hear, and I heard this from Torrey last year, and I know for a fact that Monty has said it at times, and I think he said it like last year as well, when a team has like great chemistry and they tend to have a lot of fun and it's just a great atmosphere in the locker room, when there's a slump of some sort, it doesn't matter what sport it is, we just need to go get back to having fun, being ourselves, playing loose. Like, that's always a thing. But
you're not in the mood to. I mean, sometimes if you're 0-15 or 0-30 in baseball, the last thing you want to do is like joke around about it. And that's probably what you need the most is to like relax.
I will say Jay brings it up. The one video that hasn't really aged well as the winner's work video of them working out after a win. It circulates all over NBA Twitter, which I mean, it like nothing's wrong with it. Yeah, like but, just, it's just the fact that they lost. So seeing it now, you like, oh, this team is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But again, it's the hindsight factor. Like if they would have won, no one would have thought anything, but that video is a meme now and it's pretty funny. I enjoy it, but it's a little sad.
Hey, Charles. Hey, Chris. Thanks for joining us. Jay, thanks for being here as well. We appreciate you. We appreciate your comments. Before we get into our segment, you mentioned relaxing, Derek.
I did.
OGs, gummies will help you get there. If you're feeling a little stressed out, you can stop by your local dispensary, grab some amazing scratch-made THC gummies. OGs like kills it with the flavors. They've got blackberries and cream, watermelon, all sorts of flavors that are absolutely delicious. I think everybody in the office agrees that we would eat them just as like a candy. And it's an added bonus that there's a little something extra in there. It's perfect if you're in the mood for an uplifting sativa or a chill indica. Indicouch is how I was taught to know the difference. If you're interested in trying the amazingly delicious variety of didn't you learn it that way?
That was a good one.
Really?
I've never heard indicouch.
Really?
No. I have not.
Interesting, yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah, that's how you describe it to, as Espo puts it, canicurious people.
Canicurious people, yes. Yeah. All right, I like it.
Well, if you're interested in trying either of them or any of the amazing variety of flavors that OG's Brands has to offer, you can go to ogsbrands.com. That is O-G-E-E-Z brands.com to find OG's near you. All right, let's get into...
1 second. Okay. Sorry, there's a comment. Mavs fans, they just come into this channel and comment things. They say, Lucas special turned out disastrous. We know it did. Your name is spelled wrong, Michael. Okay, now I'm done.
Maybe it's Mikhail. Well,
it's still spelled wrong. All right, I'm good.
All right, let's get into things that ended too soon for our liking. And I'll start with one that immediately came to mind.
Oh.
And that is the original Four Locos.
My heart's beating fast already.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this one's not mine, you guys. This one's Sheerston's.
Yeah, I was like a huge fan. It was just like, it was like the cheapest way also to have a good time because you only needed one.
Yes.
12%?
12%.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. But they still do exist. So I wonder if it's still 12%. Is it?
But the thing was, I think, was the sugar, and I think they had caffeine in it.
Yeah.
Wait, that's what it was. And so they
stopped them because people were having heart palpitations. That was a real thing. Fun story, I went to Mexico my sophomore year of college, and they sold the banned ones at a Costco, and I had one, a boom, ba da ba ba da ba ba da. It was insane. Those things are crazy. I'm glad they're canceled now.
Make that sound again, Shane.
Boom, ba da ba ba da ba ba.
I love it.
I'm just a little upset that, you know, like future generations will never know what it's like to make poor decisions after drinking one drink, because that thing took you to another universe.
Yeah. Well, more importantly, it was delicious to drink, right? Yeah. Like alcohol sucks, and you have to have a certain tolerance. Yeah, you have to have a certain tolerance to like the taste of it in order to drink it and get as drunk as you could.
It was like lighter fluid.
Yeah.
I still see them frequently, and like freshman year of college, not the banned ones, but the normal ones were a huge thing because again, cheap. You get one for like $4 at a gas station. And like you are absolutely shit housed. Like they will get you go. And then I remember they came up with the Four Loko Gold, which were a little more, there was more alcohol in it.
Oh, that
was 14%. 14%.
Right?
Yeah, 14%. And those things would smack you.
Four Loko Gold is part of the reason of my drunkest night I've ever been, like the most blackout I've ever been. Shout out Four Loko Gold.
Oh my gosh. That is so unnecessary. Leah cried the first time she ever drank a Four Loko.
Leah probably cried the first time she ate a pear too.
Yeah, I could see that. If we're telling Four Loko stories, one time I came back here from living with my dad in New York. And my friends picked me up from the airport at like 8 o'clock at night on a Wednesday. And they decided that it was a good idea to stop at like Circle K and drink some Four Lokos. And Yeah, I fell asleep in the bathtub that night, and it was mostly just for cleanup reasons because, you know, throwing up that was going to occur needed to stay in a contained area. So sleeping in the bathtub was the best.
I genuinely can't even think of a memory from a Four Loko. Like I'm not even kidding. Like, I probably just have bad memory, but I do not remember. Yeah. Like, I don't remember just bad decisions.
The first time Leah ever got high, she also drank Four Loko. Wow.
Oh, my God. Leah.
We need to.
Oh, I don't know who you were with, show. But they did you dirty by allowing that.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Eli, I drank four Locos on a camping trip and had the worst 2-day hangover.
Four in one night?
I can't believe you lived. and you're not blind? That's incredible.
Oh, my God.
Oh, blind. Four Locos?
Yeah.
Brother?
Yeah, respect. Respect.
One of my friends when we were freshmen, beer vong the entire Four Loko. Yeah. And he fell asleep in his bathtub with the water on it. My buddy had to kick the door down. He almost drowned. So that happened.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I fell asleep with the water on when I was in college, but I was sober. I just was so tired because I did like a million internships and worked full time and did all the things. I was so tired that I turned the bath water on and just went to bed and flooded the apartment.
Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Bad decisions.
All right.
Most of them are Four Locos.
We could talk about that for hours.
Yeah, probably. That could be the whole episode. We could have just done a Four Locos episode.
Firefly, which I know nothing about.
Firefly was mine.
TV show.
This was an incredible TV show, and I mean, it came during a time where like television was doing some original ideas, but because now they do nothing original. Now if it's not a existing property, you know, it doesn't last, but I mean it kind of goes in this category that you could put a lot of shows in, a lot of really good, especially sci-fi type shows. But
it was a sci-fi show.
It was a space
500
show.
Years in the future.
But it was it was an incredible show, and I mean there are few shows that you bring up that people want back so bad. And like I don't know, I think mostly because it came around a time where Star Trek The Next Generation was wrapping up, or it was done, but it's very popular and kind of filled, you know, kind of a gap for a lot of people. But it had a lot of cool characters. It was funny. There was just a lot of good things about it. I mean, it's very comparable to, I think, in my opinion, a lot of the Disney Plus shows and stuff they have going on. But more importantly, like every single human being I knew wanted that show back during a certain point in time. And
when did it air?
This aired in, I want to say it was like the late 90s.
2002.
2002, right. Yeah, so that time kind of, because of the Four Locos,
all kind
of
when I wasn't allowed to like watch TV. I was not. Anything that happened in like the 90s or early 2000s, I wasn't allowed to watch it. So
yeah. Yeah, well, it was. I don't know. It wasn't like a risque show or anything like that. Because there were a lot of the stuff during that time kind of was. So I understand like making your children avoid it. But you know, there was just a lot of good original shows that died off because then they started moving into doing, I don't know, I guess more focusing more on like these properties that have existed. But Firefly is one of those shows I'm surprised they never brought back and did a movie of or something because of the popularity of it. It's wild. You either have no recollection of it at all, or it was one of your favorite shows.
Like, yeah, I never watched it, but I've heard so many people talk about it.
It was just a great show. I'm not going to bore you with the plot of it, but it was your typical funny kind of sci-fi show. It's got a lot of the elements of like Guardians of the Galaxy and that kind of stuff in it, but you know, again, it wasn't an existing property. It was just a new thing that they did. And those don't seem to last on TV, even when they are kind of popular, they don't. Or in the case of something like Lost, it's so popular that they make it last too long. But that's a whole other show.
All right. So pour one out for the original Four Locos and pour one out for the show Firefly, which no longer exists. We have two sports teams that no longer exist here in the Valley that I would like to give a shout out to. First being the Arizona Hotshots. Was only, 3 years ago that they existed? The coolest logo.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Of all time in all sports. I love.
The Hotshots.
No, I'm all about like representing something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And like you don't get that with like I mean, think of like another, you know, let's just take Valley sports teams. You got like the Cardinals. Like, what does that even represent? I mean, nothing really. Like, the Diamondbacks, okay, it's like a local animal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the hot shots meant something.
Yeah.
And they retired the jersey 19, and like, it really meant something. And that's why it resonates with me.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, because that, the Diamondbacks did a lot of stuff for that when that happened for the Yarnell 19. And, again, it was just a way to honor them, but to have a team named after this. And like you said, like, not only does it have meaning, but the color scheme was cool. Like, everything about the team and the league. Yeah, they nailed it. Like, they really that league was unfortunate because it felt like they had something good going. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it just up and folded and didn't make much sense. But, again, it doesn't seem like football ever seems to work outside of the NFL for any league that tries to do it, besides like even arena league, you know, and stuff like that didn't really work out for them.
I went to one Hot Shots game, and we were trying to create like some type of cheer. We were trying to create our own thing because they had nothing. It was just like football scream. Yeah. So we were like trying all these things. The one we ended up with was shots, and we just do that over and over again. And we were just hammered in Sun Devil Stadium. It was a really good time. It was very fun. I couldn't tell you the score.
What did you do with your? Did you point up
like this?
Oh,
I have no idea what it meant. We just started. And then I also went to an AAF game in Los Angeles, the Dragons against the Guardians. I want to say, right before like the league ended. I think it was the last game ever in the AAF. And the coolest thing that they did was you could hear the hot mic from the quarterback live during a play.
Wow.
So he overthrew someone, and you literally hear him go, "Ah, fuck." And everyone in the stadium like went, "Oh," and started laughing. It was crazy. It's a very cool thing that they do. Obviously, it could never happen in the NFL, but for a lower league like that, that's some things they need to implement more.
What was the attendance like in those games that you were at?
It was in the Chargers like medium stadium where they had to play for a little bit before they could get into their new stadium. The attendance was okay. The one at Sun Devil Stadium was not great. They were both just mid. I don't know.
The biggest thing that I liked and appreciated about the AAF was their willingness to try. Really, I mean, they were kind of like what the minor leagues are for, like the farm system is for Major League Baseball, and where they would test out new rules and things like that. But the AAF like wasn't afraid to do like stuff like that. It was just like made the game like a ton more entertaining and made it different than any other professional. Attempt at another professional football league. But Chris mentioned the story, and you're hearing it here from me first. There might be an upcoming series on the story about the AAF / the Hot Shots.
Nice.
And some of this information that I'm collecting here about how it all went down when the league shut down is very fascinating. So a conversation for another time, but RIP Hot Shots, because that was a really, really, really well thought out, planned logo and brand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
How about the Phoenix Firebirds?
Oh, man. Phoenix Firebirds are such a huge part of my youth. You know, like that was – that like spring training came around and that was great, but the Firebirds were our team, and it was a blast to watch that team. I mean, the games, I always remember the games being relatively well attended and a lot of just a lot of fun. Like it wasn't so much about like watching the players come up as much as it was just about us having our own baseball team. It was the only baseball team we could hold on to as our own, because spring training was just a hodgepodge of all the other teams.
So I wonder if people during that time, did it breed Giants fans? Because wasn't that, weren't they like the AAA team for the Giants?
Yeah.
So were people here during that time in Arizona, like, were they Giants fans?
Or
no?
It's weird because people here in Arizona, I think it was, especially based on spring training, it was kind of what you attended in your area. That's why I think that we have such a strong opposing fan presence here, because not everybody switched over to the Diamondbacks when they came into existence. Mm-hmm. So some people, their entire families have rooted for the Brewers, you know, their whole life, or the St. Louis Cardinals, even though they're not here. But like the Dodgers, the White Sox, there's a lot of those fans here. When you go to a Diamondbacks game, you still see a strong presence from teams that had, you know, stadiums, had their spring training here. But yeah, Giants definitely. Giants were are still probably one of the bigger teams that have a fan presence here in the Valley. But the Dodgers, I mean, the Dodgers have just been around forever. So the Dodgers still kind of hold that title of not only having the most people that I think come here for their games, but are here. But again, that's why the Firebirds were like our team that we could all agree on, because everybody kind of was splintered and rooted for their own teams.
Where did they play?
They played at Phoenix Municipal, I think. Phoenix Muni?
Okay.
I don't remember.
That would make sense.
I don't remember because I was a kid. Yeah. So I didn't drive there or remember exactly a lot of the things about the stadium.
But. Yeah. And then they went away because the Diamondbacks came to town, right?
Yeah, I think
they played at Muni.
Yeah. They had to basically change their farm league system. And it happens in baseball all the time anyway. Like farm teams change. And sometimes teams fall out. I think the Firebirds moved, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't remember. Once they kind of fell out of, like you said, once they were gone, they were just gone to me.
Yeah.
They might have became another team name or something like that.
Yes, but. Eli, bring back the Sonics. Thank you, please.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great. I think everybody would agree that that would be a great move.
Seattle's an incredible town, and they're an incredible sports town. I mean, I went there for my first time, and I was wearing a lot of Phoenix Suns stuff at the time. Rest in peace. I got a lot of comments from people.
Pour one out
for the Phoenix Suns. I got a lot of comments, though, from people about, like, how much they were enjoying watching the Suns at the time. And it inevitably led to a conversation about the Sonics.
Mm, of course.
Well, since you just brought it up, not to rub salt in the wound, but the NBA playoffs still going on. And is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. this week, new customers can bet just $5 on any team to win. Get $150 in free bets if you do. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the NBA playoffs with DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, total threes made, total rebounds, and more. And then, boom, you got a shot at an even bigger payout. Right now, all customers can place a same game parlay with three or more legs and get a free bet back up to $25 if one leg doesn't hit. Again, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now using that promo code PHNX. Bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's promo code PHNX only at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. As always, it's 21 and over, Arizona only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. All right.
I have answers for you, by the way. The Phoenix Firebirds went to Tucson and became the Tucson Sidewinders.
Oh.
There was a team there already called the Tucson Toros, and they were forced to move because of that. And then they became the Fresno Grizzlies, which, yes, now they are the Tucson team that wasn't affiliated with the San Francisco Giants is now affiliated with the Giants. The Grizzlies are the Giants' AA team or PCL team. And then the Sidewinders are part of the Diamondbacks organization.
Interesting.
But they're really not, because the Tucson they're not a part of the Diamondback system right now. So I'm not sure.
My head hurts.
Yeah, that's what it says. It even says, in a complicated series of events. That's how the sentence starts off. So
okay.
Yeah, basically teams just forcing each other to move and things happening like that. That's what happened. The Diamondbacks did force the Phoenix Firebirds to leave because these two couldn't exist in the same town, apparently.
Well, just pour one out for them, too. I mean.
Pour a can of Four Locos out.
Chris, sorry about the sad promo. It's just like, I did feel like the post-game, what was said during the post-game press conferences from Monty and then from players, which really was just echoing what was said to them by Monty, was like, you just sometimes life just doesn't work out and you got to accept it and move forward. And there was like some good life lessons in there. And I think right now we're just sort of accepting what
sometimes you get. Sometimes you get your ass beat and you don't have an answer.
I have a question for both of you.
You can't change it.
What would have been worse, the 30-point loss or a 1-point buzzer beater loss where like Luka makes a three at the buzzer?
The 30-point, if the 1-point buzzer beater loss came from anybody but Luka, I'm fine with it. But if it came from Luka, then it's just ad nauseum more than it is already. Luka Doncic talk all the time,
you know,
every time.
All of the like laughing stock type of stuff, like the I told you so, the pulling up the dancing videos, like yeah. so much
Pat
of
Beverly
the,
getting on a plane at 4 o'clock in the morning to marry a man.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think any of that happens, or at least to the degree that we saw it.
No, definitely not.
If it was like a buzzer beater loss.
Yeah.
What we saw was a historical loss on the wrong side of history. And was something that was so bad and astonishing to at least people here. And it just allowed so many people to just jump on and be like, I told you so this.
Yeah.
They're garbage. They never were this.
That's the worst part of it.
The word embarrassing was trending that night. Those 60,000 tweets with the word embarrassing in it. Right. And they were all pretty much
Devin Booker's this. You know, the DeAndre Ayton stuff that was involved in all of it. I mean, ugh.
Yeah. One thing I will say that kind of blows my mind a little bit is how quickly everyone is to jump ship. Like, and I know NBA Twitter and just Suns fans and Arizona fans in general are very dramatic. But, like, this is a 64-win team that went to the finals
Nobody
last year.
Nobody cares.
No one cares. Doesn't matter.
Oh, people are extremely reactionary. If the Diamondbacks got swept and people wanted Torey Lovullo fired, but it's swept by the Dodgers, which is the best team in baseball, and the Diamondbacks have already kind of exceeded expectations. But all it took was a couple of losses for people to turn from saying that this team was now going to make the playoffs to now suggesting that the entire coaching staff should be fired.
We like can't stop talking about.
No, it's impossible. Okay, I have something that we don't have a graphic for. Club Penguin ended too soon.
What's
Club? Oh my God!
Shoot, what's Club Penguin? Oh no,
brother! You might need to produce this show yourself because that is the greatest website to ever exist.
It was like a
end sentence.
Social media website.
No, it wasn't. It was a playground of imagination.
Oh, I used to play this.
It was a playground of imagination.
Oh, I used to play this.
It was a safe.
You got me real worried.
Holy!
I used to play this. I totally forgot about it.
I had 14 Puffles, and they all had like the same name.
I always had every time I created a Club Penguin, I got a blue one and named it Blueberry.
That's
I
sad.
I hate you all.
That's cute. What do you mean? It's adorable.
Because I remember Club Penguin, and I remember like my niece and nephew playing it, who are 20 years younger than me. So
I played it.
I hate you guys.
I played it up until it closed.
Yeah,
and then somebody brought the server back online, and I played that like 5 years ago.
Okay, I was about to say, how old were you in 2017? Because that's when it closed down.
Yeah, that's when it
closed down.
How old were you in 2017? Answer the question.
How old was I in 2017? I was 19.
Okay.
I played Club Penguin and Webkinz.
Enough answers.
Webkinz.
By the way, I played both of those in college, and I'm not ashamed of it.
You played Webkinz in college?
Absolutely, I did.
See?
That still exists?
See?
Yeah, and they made it so you could get a free account with like a generic like golden retriever Webkinz, and it was awesome.
Okay.
Isn't that the most Sean thing you've ever heard, though? Sean's college experience at Syracuse simply did not exist. Man took Disney Princess classes, played fucking Club Penguin and Webkinz, and had, I don't know if he took any other class besides.
Disney Princess classes? We need to talk about this.
Name those like five classes you brought up. That you.
I've taken yoga. I took a one-credit yoga class. I took diversity in Disney Princesses. So it was like it fulfilled like a diversity requirement, and it talked about like race and masculinity and all this stuff, and how it's represented in Disney movies. That's was incredible. Awesome. What other fun classes did I take?
I don't know. You've told me some weird ones.
Oh, I took beer and wine appreciation, where every Wednesday night we would drink beer and wine.
He didn't go to school.
That was a class?
It was awesome. And yeah, I know about tannins. That's how I discovered that I like red wine and IPAs. I took a lot of stuff. But the Club Penguin thing, I played during class once COVID hit and we went remote and I stopped caring. I just played it during class while Zoom was up.
Mm.
Did you say during COVID?
Yeah, no, 2020, like and my final semester in my undergrad, I was playing Club Penguin.
All right.
Or not Club Penguin, Webkinz, sorry.
It's okay, Derek.
I'm sorry.
I can't.
It's okay.
I can't.
Pokemon Go.
All right, fine.
I hated that. It got so annoying.
That's not even gone yet, though.
It got so annoying so fast. It's still...
That still exists.
Yeah, people still
play.
Oh, wait, is that the one where on the phone? Okay, yeah.
But I'm talking about to the extent of which people, like, literally, like, you would go outside and people were on their phones.
Yeah. Okay, no.
For, like, a week, that was cool.
I'll tell you this much. It got so big in my neighborhood that there was a park by me that had several gyms at it. And I went up there one night thinking, like, I was just going to go, like, hey, I have nothing to do. It's, like, 9, 10 o'clock. I'm going to go up to the park and go Pokemon. I'm going to do some Pokemon Go. When I went up there, there was hundreds of people at the park with flashlights, all playing Pokemon Go. There was a guy that set up an impromptu water selling station where he was selling water to people out there playing Pokemon Go. It was incredible. I couldn't believe it. And, like, it was one of those moments where you, like, it was, it made me not want to play it. Like, it was so overwhelming that that many people were there playing it.
You sound really excited about the whole thing.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how many people were at the park. Like, I literally thought I was going up there, going to be there, like, all by myself.
I remember, like, I was wrong. During that first week, I went to Tempe Town Lake. We were just walking around. I think we went and got lunch or something. So we were walking in the area, and somebody goes, there's a Squirtle over here. And then everyone echoed, like, Squirtle, Squirtle. And a bunch of people walked to that area. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
That's embarrassing.
I've been there. I've been there.
I mean, but come on, Tristan. A Squirtle? You got to go catch that thing.
Come on. Yeah, for real.
I don't know. I thought it was fun for, like, one day, and then people just got too obsessed with it. And then I was just like, no, this is.
I liked it because I would go on a hike, and it made the hike more fun. Like, there's a mountain.
You know, ooh.
Like, it was fun to go on
a
hike.
Why don't they just create something more? I feel like they should make, like, a hiker's adult version of that.
Well, I think, dude,
it's called geocaching.
Geocaching, like, it's not the same.
I mean, it can be depending on where the geocache is.
Kind of.
What is that, an app?
There's an app
for it. It's basically people hide these little, like, containers of things in, like, really random spots and in, like, nature, in, like, pipes. Like, really, it's hard,
like,
to explain.
Physical things.
Okay. And you go, and, like, sometimes there's a notebook where you can write down your name, or you put a little item in the box type thing. But it's like a kind of like an adventurer thing. It's kind of like that, but, like, it's kind of like Pokemon Go, but with real life.
So
stuff.
Where would I find, like, clues to find them?
On the app. There's a geocaching app that'll give you, like, this is where it is, and little clues type thing.
There are things that are insane, like this video game called Accounting Plus that is a VR game for the computer and for, like, PlayStation. And it, for some reason, has gone off the rails and become this whole other thing just because there is supposedly a secret level that nobody can find, and the people that make the game keep teasing that it's there, you guys just haven't found it yet. And someone dropped, like, somebody from the company dropped these, like, coordinates for a location here in Arizona that basically, like, if you look at it, it's out in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere. And people have said that there's, like, something, like, buried out there, but no one's gone and found it yet or whatever. And, like, that's the extent that this company might be going, just to, like, play this joke on an entire video game community for this video game. And yeah, some of that shit is weird to me, but people are doing stuff like that just to make adventuring more fun. And I don't know. I'm not with it. I'm not driving out to the middle of the desert to find a secret code for a video game.
I'm going to find the Dutchman's Gold one.
Yeah,
that's Superstition's Mountains. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like this also rubs salt in some wounds, but maybe we have closure with it already. Larry Fitzgerald's football career.
Oh, no.
No closure yet?
I didn't know his career was over.
Is it too soon or too abrupt? Like, did it just randomly, like, oh, it's over? ?
It was too soon because we didn't have the last, like,
yeah, hurrah.
The last hurrah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, I mean, he played a long career. Yeah. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he played like two years in the league and shit. And like, we never got to see. Yeah. We never got to see his career unfold. I mean, we certainly did. But with the way that it ended was too soon because we needed another year. Yeah.
Here's the thing about it, too, is he also is just here in the Valley having the best life.
I know.
So we see him at everything. We see him at the Waste Management Open. We see him at Suns games. We see him at Diamondbacks games. You know,
he like rubs it in your face.
Yeah. But it's like the ultimate like Irish goodbye, right? He just slipped out the back door when everybody else was having a good time and left the sport. And I mean, I think there are people that don't want that fanfare. I think there's people that don't want to see the billion videos they're going to make of him and put the thing up and, you know, have banners in the stadium, thank you, Larry, and all that stuff. Some people just don't want that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know some people do. That's the whole reason why they get into something like a sport. You know, is that they want the adulation. They want the fame. They want one day to be in a Hall of Fame. They want to be recognized by a team. They want to have all these achievements. Yeah. But some people just want to play the sport. And I mean, I think right now he has so much else going on in life that the last thing he wants to do is make his entire life about football, right? Like, he played football, sure, and he was a great football player, but now he's on to the next chapter and he's ready to do the next thing. And like, he probably is the kind of guy that, like, he wants to be known as an entrepreneur and he wants to be known as all sorts of other things besides just a football player. Whereas some other guys, that is what their life is.
Yeah, I totally respect that about him. I think that's like one of the most admirable things about him is, well, I could go down a long list of things, but yeah, like literally everything. But just the humility that he has and his desire to expand far beyond just being an athlete with business and, you know, being part owner of the Suns and, I mean, going back to school and just all the things that he represents of, like, you know, like, whatever you go after in life, like, you can achieve it and you can have multiple chapters and multiple careers and you're not stuck doing one thing. But then also to have the, like, most of us have egos that wouldn't allow us to be like, after all this, I'm going to quietly go away. Most of us would be like, well, shoot, look what I did. Look what I did for you.
I would shoot myself out of a cannon.
Where is my I'm about to have surgery from patting myself on the back.
Yeah, it would be my retirement cannon.
Exactly.
I want to parachute into the stadium while fireworks are going off right under the 50-yard line. Well, because even when you say that, it almost makes me think, like, is it more for him or is it more for us? Like, who is the celebration more for, right? Like, it almost feels like it's more for the fans than it is.
Well, if you don't have an ego, which I'm sure, I mean, everybody does to a degree, but if you don't have an ego and you're like, listen, I really don't want this, then it's definitely not for you.
Yeah, right. But I mean, think about it. You know, I think we all have a friend that doesn't like to celebrate their birthday. And meanwhile, there's guys like me who it's like, it's a 2-week
celebration. Derek, you know what we need?
God damn it.
You can hop in on this too. We need to be on a float sometime. I feel like you've been on a float.
I've been on a float multiple times. Yeah, Veterans Day parades,
I need to be on a float.
Mardi Gras
parades. I want to be on a float.
Yeah.
I don't want to be celebrated on a float. I just want to be on a float. Right. I want to drive a float.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, that's dangerous. But yeah, I could see you doing that.
Why do you want to drive a float? That doesn't sound fun. That sounds like
being on a float isn't fun either. I'll tell you.
I think being on a float would be fun.
I can't recall the memory, but I'm pretty sure I've been on a float at some point. Underwhelming.
Yeah. I feel like there's got to be some parade or something where PHNX can get a float.
Hey,
oh, without a doubt.
Hey, people in the chat.
I've seen some of the people.
If anybody in the chat has a float guy, could you hit me up?
Yeah. Or a parade guy.
Did you know in New Orleans you can have a parade for like $150?
Let's go.
Yeah, with a band. It's amazing. So cheap.
I was a part of I keep wanting to call it two-step, but it's definitely not called that, where it's like the tradition after a wedding, the wedding party goes around.
Yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know what it's called, but that happens.
Yeah, but it was like basically your own parade through the city, and you've got like a band and all the things, and everybody comes out of the bars, and like it's an exciting thing, and you got these things that you kind of like, these handkerchief things that you like wave around. Yeah.
That's
What is that called? Why do I want to call it a freaking two-step? It's definitely not called that. But I was a part of that, and that was really fun.
There are, I mean, I
second line parade.
Second line two-step. Second line.
You were right there.
Yeah.
You were right there.
Numbers.
There was a two involved. But yeah, no, I mean, parades are incredible. You know, parades are, to be in a parade is incredible. To drive in a parade is incredible. But most importantly, to be in, like, I was once in the Rose Bowl parade, and that was that's the best parade to be in my opinion.
I'm not sure how we've been talking for this long, but we've been talking for a while, and we still have a lot to get to. So let's to the next one.
Yeah.
Cardinals training camp in Flagstaff. Oh, my gosh. I would kill to have that experience.
So ASU still does Camp Tonzano.
Camp T? Yeah. That was a great experience. That I got to cover Camp T, which was fantastic. Totally. And I would imagine that it's somewhat the same as what I've heard the stories about Flagstaff, where it was the access to players was unlike any other situation.
Yeah,
so Camp T, it was just like, oh my gosh, they're staying there. Right. I mean, you have like basically access, especially as media members. But the stories that I've heard is that like media members and players used to like kind of like hang out together, and the fans had like access like none other to players up in Flagstaff.
It was their mentality. I felt like they didn't mind mingling in with the fans, but it's also like there was no separation. People were just sitting on the sidelines in the grass and things like that. Like I went a couple of times and it's the equivalent to spring training for football where it's not just that you're like closer, but then they also seem to have a different attitude about it where they kind of interact more with fans in that situation than they do in a regular, like a regular game.
Yeah.
I remember I went when I was a kid a couple times and I would get bored of watching football. So I would go hike. Like literally you could just walk off the field into the wilderness and just walk around, be a little kid.
See, there's tons of
kick around rocks.
Who wants to see them at State Farm Stadium when you can go there for games? Like the Flagstaff experience is really cool. And I wish that they still went up there. But anyway, RIP. I never got to experience it.
Arizona has a lot of cool little road trip things, but that was like one of the best because it wasn't too far and you got into the cool weather, especially during that time of the year. You know, it's still hot down here in the valley. So it was just a great experience. But definitely it was the access to the players was the reason to go.
Well, something else I don't have a ton of experience with would be the Metro Center.
Did you call it the Metro Center? It's just Metro. Did you just call it Metro Center? It's just Metro Center. It's a mall.
Whatever.
The Metro Center. It sounds weird. Metro Center. Yes, this is mine because this is where I grew up, essentially, in this mall. Just the other day, I had a chance to go to they are tearing down the Circle K at Southern and Hardy, where they filmed the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which Cheersten does not even know exists.
I don't know anything
She's
about
never
it.
Even heard of the movie. It's not like she hasn't seen it. It's not like she's too young to have seen it. She just doesn't even know that a franchise known as Bill and Ted, starring Keanu Reeves, exists, and it's preposterous.
You can't be too young to not know what it is. Like, I've watched it many times.
I probably have obviously heard of it at some point. It just never resonated with me enough for that to be a thing.
Yeah, it's not an age thing. It's just not knowing.
It's an important thing here in Phoenix because it is all that we had to hold on to as far as, like, a movie being filmed here. You know, it was supposed to take place in San Dimas, but it was shot in Metro Center. It was shot at this Circle K on Southern and Hardy, Coronado High School, and it was also shot at a bowling alley and, most importantly, Sunsplash. Sunsplash has the greatest scenes with Napoleon Bonaparte riding on a water slide. But there is it was a great night to be out there.
Should I go back and watch it?
It's a stupid movie, but it's funny.
I mean, you would like it, I think.
You would have a good laugh at it. And
I'm most importantly, harsh when it comes to old comedy.
Well, here's the thing is like Metro Center had so many recognizable things about it that, you know, people knew it was Metro Center, but it was like an urban myth here because there's all these arguments about where things took place. Oh, it was at Sunsplash. No, it was at Big Surf. And like which mall it took place at, which high school. It was like, because we didn't have an internet to verify where these things actually were filmed at. Right. So it was like, it was just this whole thing. But like the fucking elevator at Metro Center was so recognizable. It was this hideously orange and glass elevator with like bars around it. And it was like a big thing when you know, it was like a centerpiece of the mall when you were there. But yeah, like in the movie, they go to all sorts of locations in the mall. And I think that's the thing that really gets me is watching it the other night. I was like, oh, man, that little weird alleyway thing that they had where you could go get your like picture taken like you were in Old West times is there. And they go to like the sporting goods store and, of course, you know, all sorts of places. The hot dog on a stick that they go. There's a scene where they go to a hot dog on a stick. I seriously swear to God that was there for like 70 years in the same exact spot. It was just a corn dog.
Yeah, that. And if you want hot dog and a stick, you can get one at the food court at Excalibur. Shane and I know that.
There you go.
Like in Vegas?
Yes, in Vegas. Nice.
Yeah, hot dog on a stick.
So we stayed for
incredible.
The Pac-12 tournament. When we're talking, while we're talking.
Excalibur?
Yeah. Hey. It's a great establishment.
Hey, it was the best experience I've ever had in Vegas. Much longer. And the only. But
before we move on, really quick, if we're talking about malls. I'd be failed not to mention the old Game Works inside of, I think, PV Mall. There was this game where you sat on a chair and you know those rides you get on at the amusement park?
It was at, what's it called? I know exactly what I know the ride you're talking about. The one that goes up and down. Dude. And you shoot at
No, you were in a hot air balloon and you like popped people below you. Bro, that is, there was about a 4-year window where I'd go there for my birthday every year. And that was the most fun I had the entire year. It was the highlight of my life. I have not been able to find that game anywhere. I think it's probably too dangerous now. But holy hell, if that wasn't the most fun I've ever had.
Because when you got your balloon popped, you dropped down a level, right? Yeah. Yeah. And it would be pretty fast and sudden. Like it was
Trishan's
like,
looking at us like we're crazy.
I'm trying to envision it.
Yeah, so I genuinely have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Think of a ride like at an amusement park that goes up and down, right?
Okay.
You know those rides that take you up and drop you.
Yes.
It's like that. You're in your own chair. It's a one-seated thing. And so you have your own thing and there's four people and you're facing a screen and you're looking at a hot air balloon that's yours. And you match the level of height of your hot air balloon, and you try to pop the other people's hot air balloons.
Fun.
And then you're going up.
Yeah,
you go up.
And so if you get popped,
up.
You drop straight down. Yeah. And it was probably only like 10 feet high, but it felt like I was on the top of the world.
Oh snap! Dude.
Yeah,
that sounds
great.
Fun.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
This was where
at GameWorks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it cost you like $10 each time to play it.
Literally
absurd. But
if anybody in the chat knows what I'm talking about, let me know because I'm so surprised that you know.
Oh yeah. Dude, oh, yeah. Well, I went to GameWorks quite a bit when it first opened.
That shit fired me the hell up. Yeah. Oh, my God. I need it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm good.
So that's it was. And GameWorks no longer exists.
No, it does. It's so mid now, though. I had to go get my phone. No. Where was it? It wasn't PV. It was the one off the 60 next to Tempe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What's that mall called?
I can't think of it.
What
Mills? Mills?
Arizona Mills.
Arizona Mills. Yeah. Arizona Mills. I went to Arizona Mills to get my phone fixed. Like. 3 months ago or 3 years ago, geez. And I went to GameWorks, got time to kill while they're fixing my phone. And that place sucks now.
It was just like an arcade.
Sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It used to be full of whimsy. Now it's just an arcade.
I had to put this one in here because it's my favorite fast food menu item of all time and it no longer exists. Taco Bell chicken flatbread sandwich.
Oh my God.
I never got the experience to try this, but
that it's so good. Yeah. Burger King when I was a kid was my jam.
Oh my God. Turn me all the way up. I can say for a fact in my senior year of high school, I ate anywhere between 400 and 500 of those things. I would go. I need to get my face on here because I can't. I'm excited. I would go probably 3 to 4 times a week at like 10 p.m. and get like 6 of them at a time. That and like a fruit punch and just throw them back. Always, it's just a burger with onion rings and
barbecue sauce
on it. Yep, absolutely.
One of my, if not the, my favorite fast food item of all time. I cannot tell you how juiced I am right now.
I love those chicken, the flatbread though that you're talking about at Taco Bell. Holy crap, man. Because they were cheap. And
something about the sauce that was in there too that was delicious.
It was super simple though. And that's the thing that made it good. Plus the flatbread was good. Like, I don't know. Yeah. There was something, the Taco Bell didn't have anything like that really.
No, 99 cents. I went to lunch today at Panera. I got a pick two and a drink and it was almost $20.
Ew.
So you're definitely not, I'm definitely not eating for like, you know, $2 anymore.
Yeah, they still have the rodeo burger.
They do?
They brought it back.
They do periodically bring it back. Yeah. That was my jam. I used to also like their chicken fries in the buffalo
sauce.
Fries,
bro.
Chicken fries gas. I had a Burger King on my campus and my meal plan could be used at Burger King.
Oh my God.
So literally it was literally the only thing I ate, that and like a little fried chicken stand that I had there. I was and am a really unhealthy person.
Bees knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Give me that Taco Bell flatbread all day.
Yeah,
hell yeah,
for sure.
And then Derek, you wanted to put Jell-O pudding pops in there.
Yes, actual Jell-O pudding pops. Like Bill Cosby ruining it aside, I found out that he is not the reason why Jell-O pudding pops no longer exist, though. That was a strong feeling of mine, that the reason why.
I don't even know what you're talking about at all.
You don't know what Jell-O pudding pops are?
No, I don't
are?
Know the Bill Cosby thing.
Oh, because Bill Cosby used to be the spokesperson.
Oh, okay.
Like, it used to be even when you did a Bill Cosby impersonation, you had to say something about eating Jell-O pudding pops as part of it. But they were incredible, and apparently they did not turn a profit because they were too expensive to make versus like using whatever they make to make like your general kind of
popsicle
ice cream
type
popsicles
thing,
type stuff, right? Because they actually used Jell-O pudding in order to make them. They couldn't do it without it because then they would be lying about what they were made out of, right? But apparently for some reason it was very expensive. I'm pretty sure the advertising budget, having one of the most popular comedians at the time in America as part of their thing, had something to do with it. But yeah, apparently they were just too expensive. And I didn't know that. And I also didn't know that they haven't been around for as long as they haven't been around. Because like when I was a kid, I ate these all the time. Like I ate Pudding Pops all the time. And so to find out they've been gone since like the early 90s kind of spun my head a little bit, because I had no idea that they've been gone for that long. They tried to make some fake ones that weren't really actually Jell-O Pudding Pops, and those weren't very successful, and then they called it a wrap.
I've never had one, but it sounds really good.
Yeah, because it was frozen pudding essentially. Yeah. So it just
you
had
can probably make your own though.
Yeah, that's what actually that is, and that you can buy that, I think, in the stores to this day, is you can still get the mold to make them, right? But again, it's like a lot of things. Like when it doesn't come from a factory the way that I know it when I was a kid, it's still not the same. But yeah. Frozen pudding.
Well, fantastic. For those who prefer to eat a little more of a healthier diet, I would suggest Athletic Greens.
Nice.
It is, they are our
well done.
our partner here at PHNX, and they've got a product that I use every day. I start my day by putting a scoop into a shaker, shake it up, drink it, and then I head to the gym. It's become part of my routine. And with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day off right. I don't know if it's going to erase if you have an overall unhealthy diet, but I would say whether you eat healthy or not, it would be a fantastic addition to your routine. Because of all of the reasons I just mentioned, to me, it's a no-brainer. It supports better sleep quality and recovery. It has over 7,000 five-star reviews, so the reviews speak for itself, and it costs less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health. So make it easy. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/TPSP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/TPSP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. It's really good, too. I like the taste of it.
Absolutely. And it's not going to exactly undo the effects of Sean eating four hot dogs, but it can partially counter.
So, so much like things being like discontinued, like speaking of that, I'm looking at like discontinued things to see if I can like jog my memory a little bit. There are so many things that I never got to try that I'm like, what the hell? Why aren't unhealthy things like this
what?
Still
exist? Give me, for instance.
Like, I've always heard about the McDonald's onion nuggets. I've always wanted to try those.
Onion nuggets?
Yeah, they were awful.
But then there's also things that scare the shit out of me, like Taco Bell's seafood salad.
Absolutely.
That's an awful idea. Burger King's funnel cake sticks, bro.
Here's what I'll
give me those.
Can I take a?
But how is that different than their French toast sticks?
Oh, give me a break. Funnel cake and French toast is not the same thing.
Those are two completely different
things. I love funnel cake. Oh my God, I need funnel cake.
They're
now.
By the way,
funnel cake is a top three carnival item.
Owned by the same people that own Long John Silver's, so it's really not that far fetched to try.
Okay, does anybody remember this? Because I had never heard of this. The McDonald's Hula Burger? It's literally
they still have that in Hawaii.
It's just a pineapple and cheese?
Yes, they have that in Hawaii.
Ew.
And people were waiting in line to purchase them. One of the longest lines in Hawaii when I was there was at the McDonald's, by the way.
So, the Diamondbacks won. I apologize that we pulled you away from it. 10-6.
It's all right.
Did you want to give them a shout out? Because
they're hitting bombs
today.
Steve
is requesting that you
acknowledge
them.
They, as in Josh Rojas.
People want me to acknowledge them. I acknowledge Josh Rojas for all of his hitting prowess. And more importantly, I think the Diamondbacks have a lot of really positive things rolling in their direction. It's hard to take positives away being swept four games by the Dodgers like they were. It's hard to look at positives after they were on a six-game losing streak. But, I mean, they still really had good games against the Dodgers. They lost two out of the four by a run. And, I mean, they played sloppy. So, to be honest, there were some things they could tighten up that might have led to them not getting swept. But this team really has shown that they can win. They kind of have to play at a certain level as far as, you know, mistake-free baseball in order for them to win. And they haven't been able to do that consistently yet, but it looks like it's there. I mean, the coaching is there, and that's what's really going to turn this team around this season.
I can't stop thinking about funnel cake. The whole time I was looking at the funnel cake.
Yeah, you're like looking at me.
Do you look like a funnel cake?
Funnel cake? It's just
dipped in powdered sugar.
I don't know.
Jeez.
I'm not sure.
Everybody relax.
So this is a completely random discontinued thing, but you ever play lawn darts?
Yes.
Those things
are
one of the most dangerous things
you could play.
One great thing that you can still do today, if you're safe about it, guys, Lawn darts with beer?
No.
He's trying to kill somebody.
Just hear me out. You put the beer about 6 feet in front of you on the ground like a beer can, and you get three darts, and you and your buddy go back and forth throwing the darts at the beer. You're not going to get hurt. It doesn't come close to you unless your friend is trying to hurt you. And if it punctures the beer can, then you got to drink it.
Like actual darts?
Yeah.
But lawn darts are like a dart that's like 3 feet long and will go through your skull. Yeah. So do not play with those while drunk.
No, definitely not those.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. Thank you for that clarification.
I would just explode the beer.
I'm going to let you say the Ed something restaurant.
Ed DeBevics.
DeBevics?
Ed DeBevics. Ed DeBevics here in Phoenix was like a... it was a 50s diner, right? It was one of those ones where they had all the servers were in character, and there was always sassy waitresses that would sit at your table and, you know, give you the business while you were there. But it was incredible. Like everybody knew Ed DeBevics for a period of time.
Can you define give you the business?
Give me the business where, you know, they sit down at the table and they give you a hard time.
You made it seem like they were like putting you in a headlock.
That's exactly what I pictured.
I mean, what do you want, kid?
If they were sassy enough, they would, for sure.
Another thing at the Excalibur.
Yeah.
What's it called, Sean? There's another thing at the Excalibur, just like that.
Where you wear the
something
hats?
Dick's adventure.
Dick's Last Resort.
Dick's Last Resort. Yeah, exactly.
Did they give you the business there?
Yeah, they definitely give you the business there, for sure. Maybe more so than Ed DeBevics, but Ed DeBevics was just it. Again, you talk about trends that were around. For some reason in the 90s, we loved 50s diners. I don't know. I can't explain it, but 50s diners were a thing everywhere, you know, keeping it as 50s as possible with the jukebox and the whole thing, right? So it's like, It was that, but it was kind of like turned up to 11. It was, you know, it was again, the servers and the bartenders and stuff were all kind of in character. And it was just a fun place to go. Now, I am a small child when I'm getting taken here. So you have to understand that this is like the height of excitement. A normal restaurant is just a normal restaurant. But for, you know, Pearl to come sit next to me and be like, hey, what do you want? And put me in a headlock, like you said. Like, that was what's up.
I love not saying I was a small child, but I am a small child. I'm cutting that clip out of this stream and just using it, whatever. I am a small child.
Use it out of context, please. You know, well, I mean, people say I dress like a cool toddler. So, I mean, that's,
you're pretty, you're a damn cool toddler. I'd give you my crayons.
Thanks.
That's very nice.
Oh no.
I'm going to clip that. That's very nice.
Anyway, next thing. I'll talk about it to DeBevics more while everybody's laughing.
This is it. That was the last one. And it does exist in Chicago. I looked it up briefly.
Oh, it does? Really?
Yeah.
See, again, another thing where everything in Chicago has to exist in Phoenix for some reason.
Yeah, that's a weird...
Inexplicable.
Stop laughing at me. It was a very nice hypothetical gesture.
It was very sweet. Thank you. I appreciate it, Shane.
You got your teacher voice out there for a second. Yeah. Is that how you talk to your grown guys, students?
You get a gold star.
Okay, I am a pretty cool freaking teacher. You are lucky if you're going to journalism school.
Tristan,
and you get
did you know
me.
You spoke in my class one time?
What? Oh, what?
Like a 20-person class. I forget who it was. I forget which class it was. We'll
oh,
talk
it was probably
about
awful.
Off-air. We'll talk about this off air.
That probably was not good. Was it with what's this? Was I in? I was in local news still. Was it several years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was saying like local news was really bad. I was out. I didn't have a job at the time.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I remember.
told that to college kids.
Yeah.
At Cronkite, nonetheless.
Oh, I like left at me. I was like, maybe I shouldn't have said all that. Yeah. No, I definitely. No, I was just like, yeah, like it was about like moving to states that like you don't know anyone, you don't have anything lined up. Like, I remember, I think I told a story of like how I had to take a job and like I got the signed a lease for the apartment before I had ever been to the state before. And that it was an interesting experience. But I think I know exactly what you're talking about. And that was not good. I was so nervous. I was young and I was like a year or two max removed. So I'm embarrassed that you just brought that up.
That's awesome.
I wish you would have never told me that was the case. But now I'm a really cool teacher. Wow. I'm My thoughts. Wow, I'm so embarrassed.
We broke her.
Yes. Well, thank you guys for being on the show with me. We had a lot of fun taking a trip down memory lane, making the best of a bad situation.
I feel more sad now. Like, I'm not less sad. I feel more sad after than when we started the
really?
Show.
Really? What? Yeah.
Well, because we started off with making me sad about the Suns, and now I'm just
That it's over. Celebrate that it happened.
Yeah. I'm just mad. I'm upset. I miss the flatbread at Taco Bell now very much. That's all right. I'll get over it.
Me too. Yeah. Okay. Well, while he's getting over it, if you want to get over too.
Holy good Lord, Cheerston.
Nailed it.
Wow.
GoPHNX.com. GoPHNXLocker. Become a member. Take a look at the awesome swag we've got. We've got the t-shirts, of course. We've got our Sun Devil one of our Suns ones that we're showing for you today. We've got plenty of hats. Hats are freaking awesome. Shane's wearing one.
Yes.
If you become a member, you can get 50 cents, your first month for 50 cents, or a free t-shirt. So that's always an added bonus. And we just love when we have more members because that means more people in the Discord. We're able to connect with you guys in a way that we aren't. If you are not a member. So head over to phnxlocker.com to check out the gear. Go phnx.com to become a member. And then follow us on social media, as always. Thank you guys again for joining me. Thank you for hopping on the broadcast. And I hope everybody has a great weekend.